Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on five days before the election. So it's just getting exciting.
That's right.
If you're like us, you believe the world's going to end if the other side wins.
And vice versa. Hey, the show.
No, not vice versa. They know they can get us any old.
Hey, so we want to, the show brought to you today, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. It's a great website. We check it out every day. Also want to let folks know, if you ever miss a show, please check us out on the podcast, ChuckandJulie.com. Chuck, as our friend Peter Bowles at 710 KNUS says, does not have the Rona, but Chuck does have a bit of a cold. So if he's either that or he's been smoking whiskey and drinking whiskey. It's the ballet, which is the ballet that he's been going to on Fridays that has contributed. No, I'm just kidding. So he feels much better than he sounds. I know I was in TV for decades. You sound like, how do I say, you sound like you have a cold. And it was always one of those things where you couldn't do your job if you couldn't talk, even though you didn't feel that bad. Hey, but we're thrilled to have with us Democrat strategist and friend Ted Trimpa. Once again, as we kind of get into the final few days. Hey, Ted, thank you for your time.
Oh, it's great to be here. I just have to say I was at the ballet with Chuck. So
that's right.
I can understand why he's
so it might have been a super spreader event is what we're talking about here, potentially. Okay, let me just kind of jump in. And if I have to interpret and translate for Chuck, I will do that. But
then that's dangerous.
My big question is, Ted, do you think by this time next week, we will know who the new president or the next president is?
You know, 2 weeks ago, I would have said no. I actually think we might.
No.
I think there's some momentum the other way. I know you guys disagree. Some of this is going to depend upon, you know, the count, because Wisconsin is so that the numbers are just so far apart.
Right.
You know, and I see it's a difficult play for Trump in terms of what he has to run in order to win. This last time, if Georgia goes, it's over.
Okay.
Sure. Well, I agree with that. And so, but, you know, and you're always looking on for tea leaves on your own side, but Trump is pulling out of Florida, not because he's losing, because he thinks he's won it. And so he's pouring resources into, of all places, Minnesota, which is amazing.
That is.
Yeah.
The home of Al Franken.
The former.
And Pennsylvania, depends on you listen to the polls, or even as the New York Times wrote an article on, says, you know, if you're on the ground, even if you're a New York Times reporter, it seems all Trump, but the polls say it's all Biden. My own prejudice, I mean, I think, as most people do, elections are going one way or the other. And this one's teetering, you know, back and forth. You know, Texas is now in play, or all of a sudden Nevada looks like it's good for
Trump. Because Biden is going to some states that it looks like previously he might have thought he had won. So you're the strategist. Would you be going back to a state?
Well, why do you send Obama to Michigan? That's where everybody's going. That's a death knell for some people on the Biden. If you're sending Obama, who's your only kind of person with half an IQ running on the Democratic side, why would you send him to? Why would you send him to Michigan?
So what do you make of the Biden campaign strategy at this point?
Well, I think that makes sense because you can't. I mean, that the former blue wall states, you know, right. You really, really, really have to have.
Right.
And you know, Michigan goes, then we have a real problem. So right. It would make sense to be on the safe side to have Obama go there, and quite frankly, I think he plays well there.
What about this?
Well, doesn't play anywhere well these days. Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't have said that, you know, four years ago.
He can't even beat Bon Jovi's crowd.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, he really has lost a lot of credibility. Julie's daughter said, you know, I voted for Obama twice and he did nothing. She's still going to vote probably for Biden. But she said, you know, he's lost whatever panache he once had. and it shows up.
But part of that is that no matter who's president, there's a system that's going to be really difficult, quote, to fix. And yeah. I'm not sure what that is and how you do it. Just the way interests line up, just the way money goes, the way elections happen, kind of the framing of it, you know, how media is framed some of it. I just think it's a really difficult thing to change. And I've said this before, I think to change that, the change needs to start in the states and work its way up. To think that some of these big problems that we have, all of a sudden we can parachute into DC and, you know, all of a sudden there's going to be epiphanies left and right. And electeds are going to see it and start voting for things. I just don't buy it.
What do you think of Pritzker and the fight with Lightfoot in Chicago? Say, what are you doing destroying my city? And the same we here in Colorado with your friend, Mr. Polis, trying to destroy Denver and other places. So the mayor.
Well, I think that the situation with Pritzker and Lightfoot is a little bit different just because of the history of Chicago and the politics of that and how that's related to a lot of Illinois and also just the history of the Pritzker family in Chicago. Here, I wouldn't play as much into issues between Jared and Michael, between the mayor and the governor. Because I think some of that's been worked out. And, you know, because it comes back to protests and who had authority to arrest whom and what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do something about the homeless encampments? I know Jared's been very frustrated about that.
But Denver sometimes doesn't seem to care. Let me ask you, though, on election night, to give people a guide, so to speak, from your point of view, what will, and I like, by the way, the Halloween decoration in the back there.
Thanks.
No, wait, that's Joe Biden.
It is.
So what are you going to, maybe, you know, a sort of a few, I don't know, this is like the old TV person in me, but bullet points in terms of what you're going to be watching for at an election night.
Well, first, Georgia. Second will be Florida. I mean, because I'm not for sure I'm buying that Trump has Florida wrapped up. But it's easy for Biden to win without Florida, given where I think some of this is going. I think that we need to be paying more attention to eastern states than western states, because I think that's going to give us a clear indication what's going on.
How do you mean that?
Just because we have more states in play.
Okay.
You know, Eastern time zone, you know, and what one in Central time zone. So, I mean, I think at some point Arizona is going to become a little irrelevant, even though, I mean, who would ever have thought that Arizona would be in play?
Once California moved in there, I mean, wherever California moves,
I'm sure you say the same thing about Colorado. It's the reason.
But it's just too depressing, so we don't like to talk about it. What about, you know, all the talk about Facebook and everybody, don't say election results, blah, blah, blah. I have a feeling the TV people, and nobody will be able to help themselves, right? Everyone, you know, I mean, I still see it being, at least people are going to say, okay, Trump won, Trump lost, Biden won, Biden lost. I mean, I don't think everyone's going to say, well, we better wait till 10 days from today to declare the president.
Yeah, no, I think the way they'll do that is that the stations won't say, this is, you know, we're now declaring this is the winner, or like indicate that. I think they'll use their own pundits to say that. The pundit will be like, well, in my opinion, you know, this is pretty much over and this is what's going on, in order to cover themselves, you know, what happened with Bush Gore.
That's pretty clever.
Well, last time, I mean, quite frankly, I followed the New York Times, which does a very good job on election coverage with little meters and so forth. And they had they called it far earlier in the networks. They said, you know, that Clinton had lost, and still the television stations were kind of
couldn't believe it. They were like refusing. Well, that's how they're going to cover.
Actually, I remember that.
Yeah. Chuck watches that sometimes when he's feeling depressed. He just watches the networks melt down over the Trump victory. So
that's all right. I was trapped in a studio without booze.
That's right. I remember that. Well, you know, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I have to say, I suspect that it is going to be, I mean, it was close when you get right down to it last time. And I think, you you know, we haven't lost, I don't think, very many Trump voters. It remains to be seen what, you know, the Democrats have gained, and, you know, the evil word ballot harvesting. But I to me, I look at it and I think there is something to be said for momentum. And to me, now granted, it's biased on my part, but it seems to me the Trump campaign has momentum. Trump's out there dancing to YMCA and things like that. You know, Joe Biden is in his basement and Jill's having to lead him out of the place because he doesn't know where he's going. You know, he's got the Hunter laptop thing, which is certainly just not fun, whether you believe it or not, that's out there. Right. And it seems to me that the momentum, and Trump seems very cheerful, you know, and the Democrats seem very crabby. And sometimes I got to me,
this is what's fascinating. I look at what's going on now and I see almost the 180.
Oh my goodness.
And I think some of that is just the way media is, like, in its certain silos and what we read and what we see.
Right.
Maybe I'm not watching enough of, you know, of conservative media. I mean, it's Rosh's fault since I'm not watching.
Well, let him finish.
I'm sorry. So you see it just the opposite.
I see just the opposite. You know, and I see Trump doing all these rallies. And by the way, one in Nebraska where they left all those poor people out on a road.
Oh, Democrats care. Democrats would have shot him. Lucky you didn't mow him down with your
I see that as desperation. I see that as, you know, grasping at straws.
Campaigning?
For Trump. I mean, the fact that he's spending time in Nevada. It says a lot to me.
Okay. On the other hand, I guess you're right. And it could just be, he's like, Trump seems to me to be the kind of guy, why not? And I think driving home the fact that Joe Biden isn't doing much camp. I mean, there's a clear difference.
Have you ever seen a worse candidate than Joe Biden in your life?
Go ahead.
This is like Jack Joy. This is like Ted Cruz or whoever it was. It's Lee.
Give us one liberal who's been censored. You know,
give us one Democratic candidate was literally a worse candidate.
Well, no, I have to say though, and I know I've been critical of Biden before, you know, with you, but I think in this moment in time, I think the contrast between Trump and Biden, I think it's really clear. You know, Biden comes across as kind of your grandfather, the father.
Oh, he does not! He's a grandfather. He's a grandfather. Feeling up the nieces, sniffing the hair, pulling out the skirts.
Yeah, he's like a grand.
Boy, I tell you, I know how to light you on fire.
Yeah, grandfather. That's insulting, grandfather.
Jesus Christ. You think, though, here's the difference, and it goes back to your silo point, that if you're a Democrat or a leaning Democrat person, you probably aren't even barely aware of the laptop thing. I mean, I will concede that. And it's confusing. It's kind of like the Trump Russia thing where everybody sees that so differently.
They lie and tell the truth.
I think the challenge on the Hunter laptop thing is just, it's a lot to absorb. It just seems like a lot of pieces in order to try to understand it. And even though, you know, Hunter's business partner came out and allegedly confirmed a lot of this, it's just at this point in time, it's really hard for people to get their head around. You know, if it were something like, you know, on a bus and I'm going to grab the whatever, that's easy to understand.
And that didn't work.
Oh, here, Ted.
Ted, come on in here.
Well, again, it didn't work. And perhaps, though, again, I'll concede maybe for the same reason that the Hunter laptop thing won't work. If you're a Biden supporter.
No, I think a lot of that's going to come out of the woodwork after the election.
Yeah, which will be fine.
You know, because, you know, certain folks aren't going to let that go, I don't think.
No, hopefully it'll be the FBI and the DOJ, because he'll leave Ray in there.
No, but now this, notwithstanding the fact that it's hard to understand and there's lots of parts, all there's been is a drumbeat bad for Biden. There's been nothing positive about him. He looks frail. He looks pathetic. Kamala Harris, they're not letting her go and better herself.
She's so awful.
She's so goddamn awful. And everything else, you know, is just seems to be, there's no energy. There's nothing to the Democratic
Senate. Did now you that see it Scheer's winner, campaign stop?
Which doesn't mean that you guys can't steal it. I mean, you guys are very good at those things. So you may be able to extend the election.
Because you know, when we're out harvesting organs, we're also harvesting ballots.
And taking children, registering them.
That's the difference, which is interesting. Obviously, you felt that harvesting didn't work with the whole, you know,
coronavirus.
Yeah, the panic porn that you're pushing. And so you decided to go with everybody vote early.
Yeah.
And certainly in Colorado, certainly in Hawaii, certainly everybody get the ballots, and you took a huge lead, which I think was
it's narrowing them.
Well, yeah.
In Colorado.
No, everywhere it is.
I think there's a certain level of Republicans waiting because they want to make sure that their vote is counted. And they're like, well, no, I'm going to go in.
Right.
Or actually take it real right at the end. So there may be a little bit of that going on.
Well, I think
think that turnout's going to be a lot higher than, you know, people are expecting.
Oh, I think it's
going to be. The spring line's going to stay up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I think the turnout is going to be enormous on both sides. Right. I mean, on both sides, it's going to be enormous. But I just feel that the enthusiasm, guy. When you see
Chuck has been cheerful. It doesn't sound like it right now, but Chuck is never
cheerful for Chuck.
Yeah, and well, that is a caveat there.
But all those, you know, eight circles or whatever for a Biden event, you know, that pathetic,
that just
sad kind of thing, and Jill leading him around,
and he was wandering back and forth. Now, granted, you can edit things anyway, but
we've had you on since the debate. So, how did you think that went?
I have to tell you, Trump showed up at the second debate.
Yeah,
you know, and it's you can't say that wasn't a good performance because it was.
Right.
You know, as a Democrat, I would say, gee whiz, you know, it's just a series of lies that went on and on.
Sure.
But actually, he performed well. I think he performed
and he did
well.
Get him to say he was going to ban fracking. Well, no, he lied about the fracking, and he's going to get rid of oil industry.
I mean, I think there are two moments, at least for me in particular. The one for Trump would be how he really didn't respond to a lot of the coronavirus. You know, what is the plan? Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, it was like very defensive about what the numbers are.
Right.
And then Biden's answer around Pennsylvania and fracking. I mean, you want to talk about the media spin after that. To fix it. I mean, it's one of those moments where you're listening to it and you stop breathing for a second.
Right.
I can see his poor campaign people. You better going like, you know, somebody, hey, do you want to, we've got Barney, I know, called in Monday because he wanted to call back when you're here. So we'll bring Barney, and Barney likes to talk to you.
Sure. I'd love to hear from Barney.
Okay. Hey, Barney, thanks for calling in. You're here with Chuck, Julie, and Ted.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. Hey, Ted. Come on, Ted. Come on, man. I'm going to have to call bull crap on you, buddy. Only reason I love you, Ted, the only reason, not because you took over the state of Colorado with Polis and Stryker and Gill, because it only happened, it only worked for you guys because we had lawless, spineless Republicans, and that's how you did it. But the only reason I love you, Ted, is because when I met you the first time and you got in Chuck's face, with pointing your finger, I love that. I thought it was hilarious. And I would say, and Ted, you need to worry because Eric Schon on Fox was arguing with a producer about, or a reporter about the Iranian emails that could come out. And I could get an Iranian email in Farsi, and I could be so worried about my vote that I won't come out. So you're right, Ted. We've got to worry. But let me just say, Ted, you've got to know that when Tony Baba Kanoush comes out and he actually sounds very credible, doesn't it make you kind of wonder, like, Biden, why don't you defend this? Why don't you come out? You've got the media in your pocket, which they're really not the media. The media is Chuck and Julie and not even Fox anymore, but the media is not what we call mainstream anymore. They're a bunch of hacks, but doesn't it bother you that they're not, you know, the Biden camp is just, first off, he's not campaigning, for crying out loud. He leaves his house for 30 miles. He works 12 hours. Are you kidding me? Doesn't some of this stuff kind of bug you a little bit? Like, maybe you guys nominated the wrong jackass in your party. I mean, the guy is, sorry, Ted, I love you, but you got to admit, man, you guys are, talk about bullcrap. Come on, man.
Well,
back at you, Barney. I love you, too. But I think I'm,
you
know.
You hate me.
No. Everybody loves you, Barney.
He wants to punch me in the them out, but that's okay. Good.
That's true of most people.
Well, maybe philosophically. Maybe philosophically. I mean, I just don't think there's any I don't think there's any upside for Biden to start explaining it and addressing the Hunter Biden business partner, whatever you were calling Baba Kanoush.
Baba Kanoush.
Yeah, because it all that does is give it airtime, you know,
yes.
or give it print. And given that people really don't understand it, I don't think that it doesn't warrant a response, even though I think at some point they're going to have to explain it, but it's going to be after the election.
Well, that's after he takes over the FBI.
Ted, Ted, come on, man. If the shoe is on the other foot, let me help you out with this, Ted, because you might be a little bit of a hack, but we love you. Ted, you guys need to worry. Trump, I'll tell you right now, I said it last time around, and I'm not an expert. Something's up. These polls are crap. I don't even think we'll be able to call them polls after this election. I think we're just going to call them, they're hacks is what they are. They want the news to be, and look, I might be wrong, and you can laugh your ass off to the bank when it's over, but I just, God almighty, if you guys would have, even Andrew Yang, I mean, the problem with you Democrats are is us Republicans, we're getting rid of the establishment. You guys are not. That's why we have Trump. We told the establishment to take George W., Jeb Bush, and stick him in your butt. We're not doing the establishment anymore. You guys haven't got rid of the establishment. I really do think, this is my honest opinion, you could have got, you had decent people up there on that stage, and you didn't pick them. So I hope you're dead wrong. I hope you still call after the election. But Uncle Trump all the way. Uncle Trump is going to wipe Joe Biden's whatever, and he's going to he's going to go to the nursing home where he belongs. But I love you, Chad. I love you, Chuck. I love you, Julie, now.
All right. Bye, Artie. Thank you. Bye, Artie.
That's a bit of a soliloquy here.
Ted, if you want to – well, you know, I think, though, Barney has a point. This is – I was talking with, again, a Democrat friend of mine and was making that exact point when they said, well, why do you like Trump? And I said, because Trump is not the establishment. I said, the establishment party on both parts, in my opinion, is sort of catered to, you know, the global corporate people. They don't care about the middle class at all. And at least Trump cares about the middle class and fights for the middle class. And this person said they are all corrupt. And does that But you don't see that as an. I mean, does that worry you at all that you got voters who used to be Democrats?
You know, we've talked about this before, and I actually think that there is in both parties a pissed offness with the establishment, and I think that, you know, a lot of the energy that drove Bernie Sanders, and I think what's happening within the Democratic Party. I think we're in a pause right now, but what's happening in the Democratic Party is something that happened in the Republican Party before, and I think that, you know, Trump is just an example of that. You know, I don't like using the word symptom, you know, it's part of what came out of that. And so, you know, who knows? There may be enough folks out there that, you know, the polls aren't picking up, you know, because some of these polls are within the margin of error. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Trump can pull something out. What I would say, though, is on the establishment piece, and I've said this before, that the one thing Trump has done for all of politics is basically said goodbye to the Bush dynasty and goodbye to the Clinton dynasty. And that has at least allowed something new to happen. Now, obviously, with Biden winning, there's an argument that, quote, the establishment is now back in control. You know, and I see that at a certain level. But, you know, a lot of chickens, roosters, whatever the phrase is, are going to come home to roost after the election. Because I think, one, you know, if we have a Democratic sweep, we pick up seats in the Senate, you know, we're at 52 or 53, we pick up seats in the House, you know, these folks on the left aren't going to go and say, well, gee whiz, now we won, tell me what the moderate agenda is. And
let's reach across the aisle. Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing we're facing in Colorado. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those, you know, holding the horses back to the extent that you can. So I think that's going to be dynamic number one. Dynamic number two is, okay, so Trump loses. What is the core? What is the Republican Party? You know, is it going to be a collection of personalities that come out of this? You know, is you know, the Ben Sasse or the Ted Cruz going to try to pick up on the populist part of what Trump was doing? You know, what are these never Trumpers going to do that are supporting Biden? Because all of a sudden they're going to see all these policies that they've all written against, you know, for decades. You know, I, I I just have a difficult time seeing where they go and then what that energy that Trump will have, because Trump's not going away.
I mean, no, that'd be kind of fun. He's saying, and I think he's just kind of, why'd you call there? He's just kind of doing it. I sometimes think to troll you guys. He says, maybe I'll run in 2024 if I lose. That would be fun.
Well, you know, if you guys had nominated anybody but a senile, corrupt old man, it'd be over. It would just be over. If you had any of your candidates for the last 100 years, it'd be a slaughter fest. It would be.
Typically we agree a little bit, and on this one, I'm not for sure I do. And the reason why is I just think that there is such, and you guys are going to start screaming and jumping up and down when I say this, but I think there is a character difference.
One of them has a child porn, crack smoking, walking around naked in front of teenage girls, bag holding, money laundering son, and the other has nice, delightful children. Whether you agree with them or not, that you're total.
I have to tell you that was a really good rant.
I
give you an A for that.
Okay, thank you.
I agree. I mean, the idea that the Democrats, because Democrats always argue exactly opposite of what reality is. I mean, it's always, if they accuse you of A, it means they're doing it themselves. When Joe Biden goes, you know me, and everybody's sitting there, yeah, we know you, crook, you sick.
Because we're all wearing red, and you know, it starts to blind you, and you don't know what you want to do, because you keep tripping over all the sickles.
If that's your character witness, your client's going to be executed. I mean, oh my God. Joe Biden character. Wouldn't they do some poll or something to come up with that one? I mean, that's just...
Well, what did the polls sort of say? Even the polls, which again, you know, I acknowledge this. If the poll says what I think it should say, then I like it. If it doesn't, then I think it's a stupid poll. But there is something about, you know, establishment corruption. Let me ask you about this, because I know, you know, Arash, your partner, is very involved in the media as well, and I used to be in the media. I kind of wonder...
Still in the media, Julie.
The mainstream media. I wonder... If what happened to me, I think one of the saddest things about all of this is what, and actually I was talking with friends last night. I went out to, and they were all liberals, but me, right? But they were all former media people disgusted by what's going on. I was talking to one woman and she said, you know, I was on the street for 20 years and politics. No, I
mean, as what?
Yeah, no, as a reporter. I was on the street for even longer. I was on the street for
30 years. The profession's going down, you know? No, street walkers don't have the same.
Political. But I mean, she's...
I was on my way to the poll.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it never really came up. And I would have been hard-pressed to tell you for sure what I thought the political affiliation of it, what anybody was. And they all kind of lamented, and they said what I feel, which is that I think the legacy media, whatever you want to call it, I think has been really damaged by this. And I think people are still going to watch it, but people, I mean, your sense on that?
I completely agree, because I think, you know, the media is now just... a channel in order to put out punditry, to put out opinions.
Right.
And there really isn't news.
Yes.
And I think it's a pox on all of us in terms of what's happened. So, you know, if I were somebody who wasn't involved in politics and wasn't so cynical, you know, and hardened about it, I would look at all this and throw up my hands and say, you know, this is ridiculous. How did we end up in this particular place? And this is why I think the Obama thing with your daughter is a result of some of this. And that is, Obama was elected because people thought, oh, gee whiz, hope.
Yeah. Hope
and he's going to be able to lead us, you know, with this kind of momentum and this passion, and he's going to fix this problem.
Right.
You know, and that's difficult. That's like saying you're going to drain a swamp by trying to drain a bathtub.
Yeah. What about this?
No, I don't care.
Chuck,
thank you.
Let Chuck finish.
We got to get that button back. Got to get Hugh back on to be able to recut that one, because we can't get let loose over at KNUS.
He forgot what he was going to say, so I'll jump in.
Filibustering.
Well, here I can light you on fire again. The key is that Obama was... you know, saw or was seen as someone who's going to fix the problems.
Yes.
He's going to go into DC and then all of a sudden magically epiphanies would occur. And I think that was an expectation that couldn't be met, because you can't drain a swamp by draining a bathtub.
Yeah, but he didn't try. That was his problem. That's what she said. He didn't even try. He was really no different than the rest of them. It's not like he tried hard but failed or gave the, but you know, he quickly was angling.
Well, I'll say this about Democrats. We tend to think about things too much. We tend to, we want to get consensus and we want to debate about it. I mean, an example of that is just look at the bench, the federal bench in terms of judges. I mean, Trump has done more, and the Republican Senate has done more in what, 3.5 years than Obama did in 8. What's happening with the Supreme Court? I mean, this whole idea that, oh my gosh, it's such a violation if we use the law to our advantage. I can't believe that you would do that. I mean, that's happened throughout history.
Yes.
This idea that there's like some unwritten rule and you have to respect this and this is what it is. You know, go back to the 1860s. You know, with Lincoln and what they did and how they were fighting, the pro-slavery folks. I mean, I was reading an article about it the other day and it was just stunning. You know, well, let's add people to the Supreme Court. Oh no, let's take people off the Supreme Court. Oh no, well, we'll just change this law. And it was, it was fascinating.
I didn't actually get to say anything, Julie, before you interrupted and everything else. But. At the beginning of the country's founding, the Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists, two different presses, they attacked each other. By the 1830s, people were looking for some sort of less biased press. And things like the New York Post, and more in particular the New York Times in the 1850s, really did go in because people were just so sick of going, well, that doesn't do me much good to read this because I'll just read something else. So, I think the owners of Fox want to turn Fox into that. I mean, they like to be at like Sky News. But I think there is going to be, I have the feeling myself every once in a while, where am I going to read something that I don't think is biased? And there isn't anything. I mean, I don't believe there's anything I can read.
I don't know what your opinion on this is, but the one source that I like to read, and I feel like at least there's some analysis to it. They definitely have an opinion, but you realize when they have an opinion, and that's The Economist. Having a British FD, publication. It's part of the establishment again, right?
Oh no, they're
but
awful.
Hey,
what do you think of Shepard Smith and CNBC?
I think his ratings are great.
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. Well, that zero. Goes to my
zero. He's attracted no one. He's on the bottom where he deserves to be.
And that leads me to my question, though, talking about the media. And again, a little bit of trying to get a pulse on the country is, Tucker Carlson, there was an article today, has had record breaking since in the history of cable news. Tucker Carlson's ratings are higher than anybody's ever had. Now, if I'm a Democrat, and he's not a particularly, he's not like Hannity where he's like Rob Trump constantly.
Yeah, cynicism and bitterness really, really does sell.
Or truth straight up is, when you just sort of tell the truth, I think. But does it worry you as a Democrat that, what do Democrats watch? Or do they just wait for the religious cult people to send them down the latest news on the coronavirus and then they wander around?
What do you listen to? What do you like to watch?
What's difficult? Even I get tired of MSNBC. It's like they all get talking points in the morning. And every single show just repeats it.
Well, that's from lawsuit, right?
Over and over. So I think it's really difficult. It would be fascinating. I can't remember the media company that's starting, quote, an all news channel. I don't know if it's like the old WGN. I don't know if it's up and running yet. Basically, what they tried to make CNN way back when.
Yeah, yeah. Right,
never
right.
It started, when they called it chicken noodle news.
Right.
Well, and
so it's really difficult. I mean, you just have to filter it out. But the problem is I have my own bias.
Let's get Charlene in, see what she can add to the conversation. Charlene, great to have
you. I tell you what, Julie and Barney went on the most perfect rant I've ever heard. I mean, both of the rants were just perfect. And Julie
turning into Barney.
For one noun. It was just wonderful. But I want to give kudos to Ted first for coming on and being subjected to all this. And then also for turning Colorado blue from a red state. And then I also have to give him that Biden is popular in some circles, and those are the circles he draws where people stand in. That's all he has.
That was kind of good, Charlene.
Yeah, good.
That was good. Well, I stole it from someone, but
okay.
That's where the best lines come
from. The thing is the Hunter story has got legs. It's got legs internationally. And there's video, there's audio, and people are waking up to that, and there could be criminal charges. And it's not going to be something easily swept into the rug, especially if Trump has a resounding victory. And so You know, I think Ted's got it done in Colorado, but I think the rest of the country maybe has a little more spine than the rhinos in Colorado have. And, you know, y'all aren't pulling punches, Julie, you and Barney, so why should I? I mean,
no.
Really, the rhinos have just rolled over, and that's where we got, how we got where we are. But this is most entertaining. And Chuck, you don't act like you have a cold.
I know. He's like, he was like laying in bed all morning. He's like, bring me this, bring me that. I'm too weak to move. He was conservative. Well,
showtime. The show must go on. The show must go on.
Take zinc and vitamin D, okay?
All right.
Okay. Charlie, thank you for calling.
Well, let me ask, you know, it's Ask a Democrat time, and I can never find out what's really happening in the Republican Party unless I ask Ted.
that should worry a lot of people.
So, Ted, who took over Colorado Peak politics? Honestly, Tyler Sandberg and all the consultants, you know, had run that into the ground as bland pablum. And now whoever's running it,
it's got an edge.
It's not as good as Colorado Citizen Press, but at least it's got something. Who bought it? Who got it?
Yeah, they go after me. So
yeah.
You know, I still think that there is a new center of gravity, it seems like, on the Republican side, because it seems a little bit more sophisticated, professional, more focused, targeted. They're just going to have a bad cycle just given the environment. I think that there's multi-year money. I think that there are a couple well-known Republicans who have wealth, who I think are putting money.
Can you tell us this. Who?
I got to be very careful about this. So but just rumor. I shouldn't even say rumor, hunch. I think it's, you know, Meisel or Anschutz or both.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe they might worry
more,
about
more Meisel than Anschutz.
You know, and I think some of these publications, you know, the Denver Gazette.
Right.
That's more Anschutz. That's pure Anschutz, because Anschutz is left to center. People don't quite realize he's left to center. I mean, he likes the old time art and everything else, but as a politician doing politics out in California, he is left to center in a Republican sort of Rockefellerian way, if you want to say it.
Yeah, I think what's happening in part on your side is this worry that society's falling apart. We saw this with the protests. You see it with Candy Cederbach and the Denver City Council. You see it federally with Ocasio-Cortez. You know, we're going to have a couple personalities that I'm sure will kind of rise to the top, you know, out of the legislature this next round after these elections. And so I think there's a concern that, gee whiz, you know, we're going into a ditch. We need to do something.
Yeah.
And I think it's less about, I have a particular ideology. And I think it's more about, oh my God, I think the wheels have fallen off the wagon. We better find wheels.
We better jump in. Oh, I hope you're right.
If Anschutz is good at hiding his tracks, there's nobody better than Meisel of hiding his tracks. I mean, he hides them. You know, he doesn't get up in the morning until dusting off the footprints in the bathroom. I mean, yeah.
Well, they've got a lot of business interests.
I just also think, you know, the organization Colorado Concern, you know, which started out as a group of CEOs from both sides of the aisle that, you know, we pick big issues, let's do a deal.
Right.
And it's definitely become much more of a Republican-oriented organization.
Oh, give me a break.
Well, it's the establishment,
Who? What Republican? Cop?
This is the establishment. This is the establishement that you like to complain about.
This
whole society is falling apart is a big thing for them.
That's what Ted is saying, that the establishment who have abandoned the Republican Party have now been like, oh, maybe we need
to abandoned Colorado Concern, which only moves, you know, it doesn't
to make developments get paved the way for developments.
Greedy.
They just worry about green new deals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're
the greediest group of greedy, awful human beings has ever been. But admittedly, they've lost hold of the Democratic Party. They've lost hold in
but
the
aren't
Senate
all their people, their corporate people, aren't they all Michael Hancock's former chief of staff? They're all roasting people, right?
Well, not Cop is a form. He's one of those lizard Republicans.
No, but Janice Sinden, I mean, some of the players in Colorado Concern.
Well, they're all the people who Pat Hamill, good old Pat Hamill.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Mayor Hancock guy.
You know, there were the days back, you know, when Joan Fitzgerald was president of the Senate, a Democrat, for those that may not remember, and had good relationship with Meisel. So, and that was back when you could work with Colorado Concern, again, probably on deals that you wouldn't like, But you had Democrats and Republicans that were involved in it. But today you don't have that. I mean, it's like everybody's on the team, and there are two.
Okay.
Well, or maybe three, because on your side, I'm sure Patrick Neville is, you know, the idea of what a Republican should be for you.
And what's your idea of a Republican? who do you want to send down the drain? Go ahead, identify. Hey, thank you, Republican.
If you don't want me to pick somebody, then probably want me to pick somebody because that'll doom them.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Doom somebody. Go ahead.
Greg Brophy.
Greg Brophy. Yeah, Kevin Pirolli. Yeah, he'd be perfect for you.
So Raj is chiming in.
Raj says, bring Raj out here.
Hey, let me, what about, you know, we had that very nice fundraiser that Raj set up for Lauren Boebert. What do you see happening with her? I know the media is against her, and the Denver Post, but she did a heck of a primary, and she is on the Western Slope. What do you see going on with that race?
You know, they say it's neck and neck. If Diane wins, it is because there's just a huge Democratic wave. And if you take a look at the all mail ballots that have been coming in so far and with the performances on the Democratic side, those are numbers that should scare every Republican.
Yeah.
You know, because we're way above.
Well, it's a lot closer. It's only like,
it got a lot closer.
I think today Magellan. Was like nine.
But I still have a hard time seeing a Democrat win in the third.
Oh, good.
It's hard, just knowing the district and when we were drawing the lines and, you know, we put every Republican we possibly could into the fourth, you know, whoever's a congressman there, Kim Buck, he did not even show up and win.
Right. Yeah.
In hopes, and was more about putting Democrats into the sixth so we could win the sixth for Jason. And kind of the third is just if we get it, you know, there's only so much we can do because we have to pick up the rest of the state.
Well, Jacob, if you ever wants to know what we think about people changing their votes, as a practical matter.
You want to bring him on? Hey, Jacob, do you want to come on, or were you just asking the question?
I just want to know. I met a guy visiting from New York yesterday. He's in Denver now. He's got a quarantine. And he says they're banging down the doors there. They're trying to get in Manhattan. They're lining up to change their vote, and they can, supposedly, so.
Yeah, well,
something to think about here, and there's no coordinated effort to do this. But playing off of what your question is in terms of what you're talking about in New York, and this has been a concern that's raised in some states, and that is you put in your all mail ballot, you know, your mail in ballot, and you're not for sure that it got in.
Right.
And so you go to the polling place on election day and you file a provisional.
Right.
And so the question becomes, which one prevails?
Right.
You know. Obviously, hopefully, they don't count both. But if you voted one way, on the front end, and then you vote a different way on the provisional, under state law, and I'm not for sure here. I know in some states the provisional would prevail.
Right. The latest.
I'm not for sure what it's like here in Colorado.
Well,
make a point. Jacob, what are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying. No. They went in. They're going in, and they're actually canceling their vote. They mailed it in. You're right. They're not opening them up until, I think, Friday or Saturday of this week. But if you go in now, you can go in on a machine and really vote. And then when your ballot comes up to be opened up, it's canceled out.
And you're saying they're changing their votes from Biden to Trump, or what are they changing it to?
No, I wouldn't know what somebody's changing their vote to, but they are lining up to do it.
Huh, that's interesting.
Well, that's one of the problems.
Hey, Jacob, thank you for the call. Yeah.
That's one of the problems with early voting, because if they do start tallying them, then there's nothing, because then they rip off the identifying tag, they tally it, and there's no way to take it back because you don't know how they voted. But I think it's
shenanigans. It's malarkey.
It's malarkey.
It's malarkey shenanigans. Let me tell you, when we get done here,
I got to go back and work on my plan to do that. So
okay, yeah, that's right. All right. Good, so we'll try to keep it then as long as we can. Excellent. Corey Gardner, I thought Corey did a good job today taking on Jack Dorsey, who, by the way, I don't know. He needs. Wow. I know we shouldn't get personal, but he needs to lose that beard. That was like, dude.
Well, why do all the crooks all grow Hasidic beards when they get up?
Like a ZZ Top.
Listen, I don't understand this whole trend of all this facial hair coming back, beards coming back. Every time you turn around,
Right.
No offense to you, Chuck.
You look like you got a little growing.
I always have a little bit of scruff, but I don't go beyond.
That's cool. Well,
that's a couple months growth, isn't it?
For me, that probably is.
but anyway, Corey Gardner, I thought, did a good job. Asking him questions. I mean, it was the toughest I've heard Corey Gardner ever be.
Yeah.
And he didn't, say, what do you think about the trail system in Colorado? But at any rate, I got a feeling that it's no matter. John Hickenlooper has not run a particularly great campaign. He's not a particularly great candidate. But I think, Corey Gardner was doomed from the beginning, don't you think?
He was down from the beginning. I don't know if I would say doomed, because we've talked about this before. There was always this concern that, John would have, Hick would have some type of flub, because many times thoughts go through his brain, they automatically come out of his mouth.
That's only when he's drinking.
But they did a good job of, keeping him really focused and disciplined. But I mean, with Corey, God bless his soul, but stick a fork in it, it's done. He's, dead man walking.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else too? We need to keep him from his evil conniptions.
So where do you see the Republican Party going after in Colorado?
It's actually a really good question. The Bill Owens's of the world, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Colin, I don't know if it's Colin Larson.
Colin Larson.
Yeah, that is going to become kind of the new mainstream of the Republican Party. But the question that I would ask is, when you look at Republican primary voters and the support for Trump, I mean, it's in the 90s still.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do with that? You're not all of a sudden going to get all these people to change their mind.
With Walker Stapleton and it didn't go over very well.
Telling them, well, it's all about winning, so therefore this is what you have to do.
When did Owens say that he thought Colin Larson would be the touch?
I just think that there's an intersection of a couple things that are going on. One, Republicans are, a certain group of them are tired of losing.
Right.
So they think by going this route, particularly some of the Republican candidates they ran in those primaries against, Neville's universe of candidates, believe that, okay, well, this is the way we're going to win. So this is what the party has to be.
Right.
And I think it's a mistake, but I think it's really difficult because you can't establish something within the party and say, therefore, now this is what you're going to believe because this is what we're going to win. And how it's different with what we did is we just ignored the party.
Right.
And just created entities in order to win and then let the Democrats kind of, the electeds and those folks figure out as to what they want the party to be. Now, we've been really successful and soon to be almost to our detriment. And so it's now, developing into something that is farther left than what I think Colorado is. And so some of that is coming home to roost. But I don't think you start out by saying, okay, we have this entity and this is how you're going to believe. It has to be just about this is how we're going to win.
Well, I think figure out
how you're going to believe.
Well, I think it might work because there's no money in Colorado for Republican candidates. They can't choose to stop funding them unless it's way, way deep. And the practical matter is the people who won in Weld County did not win with Republican money. They all won with money from Catherine Murdoch.
With Democrat money.
Right. Democrat money. Yeah. So if Democratic money is going to run the Republican Party, why have a Republican Party?
Yeah.
Just switch over. Make it a uniparty.
I would classify the Democratic money a little different. I would say do-gooding.
Oh.
Yeah, do-gooding. That's what you guys
you.
Are. That's what you're doing to downtown.
That's
Denver.
It's different for me. It's different for me. I'm wanting to win.
Yeah.
Well, you guys win either.
There's a lot of do-gooding I didn't like. Redistricting commission, you got to be kidding me. If you have power, that's how you use power. You draw lines.
Yeah.
The idea of open primaries, are you crazy? This is how, you maintain some control within the party, but, we lost both of those.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a trend line that's happening with that. It would be interesting to see. I think the other mistake that this new group of funders and whatever they're doing is setting it up as one entity and running all the money through one entity and trying to have control through one.
What's the entity? That's
really, really, I have to go back and get the name. We're seeing it now in terms of how they're funding ballot initiatives. And it's the same entity that's been funding a lot of what was going on with Corey. It's the same entity that's been funding a lot of what's going on with the state Senate races. And
Do you remember the name? Do you remember the name at all?
Super dangerous.
Just give me a hint.
This is my age. This is my
okay.
age. I'll find it. You know, we get on next time, or I'll send it to you.
The danger
with this is, you know, we just have to start litigating and just start suing them.
That's what you're good at. That's what Republicans stink at.
And that's dangerous because then that just stops them in their tracks. And you're saying what they should be doing is be the same people, but
all over the map. You know, create entities where you change the name every cycle. I mean, we used to sit around with bottles of wine and figure out, well, what are we going to call them this year?
Well, find out the name of the entity, and we'll do a little research and figure out who exactly it is.
Because if they think that they're going to start winning by, okay, we better back more Walker Stapletons and,
I mean, well, if they're down to Colin Larson.
I mean,
Walker Stapleton
was a
right wing.
He was
radical compared to Colin Larson.
All right. So Ted, I guess before we let you go and, you know, as you said, onto your ballot and child harvesting, any final thought, anything we haven't asked you that you've been thinking about that you would share?
I just, the piece, and I mentioned this earlier, and I think it's something that, folks need to be thinking about. I think all of us need to be thinking about, particularly people on the right. And that is, what is the conservative movement? Because there are some at least alleged conservatives that, you know, when that came out against Trump, you know, the Max Boots of the world, the David Frenches of the world.
Right.
And what is going to be the political center of what conservatism is going to be and what the Republican Party is going to be? But then also, what is the ideological center? Because you don't have a sense of what it means to be on that team.
Right.
Because, you know, for better or worse, it's defined as whatever Trump thinks.
Right.
And that's not healthy for a party to have, you know, it's the person who wakes up and decides, no, this is where we're going to be today. And granted, you know, there are a lot of things that Trump has done for conservatives that, you know, from 1980 on, they didn't do. I mean, Trump has done more in 3 years than they have in the last 30, or at least that. I mean, every day is a birthday for the Heritage Foundation. What is that going to be? And then how does that affect the Republican Party and conservatives in Colorado, because there needs to be a healthy it, whatever it turns out to be, because we need a counterbalance, because otherwise we're going to keep drifting left like we're doing now. And that's not good for the state.
I was going to say, you guys have the same problem, really, right?
Your
average Democrat probably wouldn't consider themselves a Candy C. DeBaca supporter if they knew what Candy C. DeBaca was supporting.
We got to a very similar situation in a different way.
Yeah.
We got to the situation through winning, and you've been getting to this.
And we got there by losing. What a good job. Say you could have lost and gotten the same place. Ted, so great to talk to you. Have a great election night, and we'll talk to you right after it.
You do the same. Good to see you.
All right. Okay, thank you, Ted. Say, and goodbye to Arash, and happy Halloween, too.
Bye, Arash.
So if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, you want to take a second and talk about Synagenics real quick?
No, not right now.
Okay. All right. You know, what I want to do, though, was play. So there was Rev is bringing us your phone. I guess, was his phone ringing, Rev?
Yeah.
All right. Rev's the intern bringing his phone. One of the things that was interesting, and I'm glad they did it, is they brought Jack Dorsey and Zuckerberg and other guy whose name I can never say. Here, just wait. We're almost. Yeah. And they kind of reamed them. And now I don't know if it'll make any difference, particularly if the Democrats win. But I wanted to play, I think we'll do first, Thomas, let's play the Ted Cruz soundbite where he just goes after the awful bearded Jack Dorsey. So if we could play the Ted Cruz soundbite, please.
Other media outlet, Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing news to the contrary of your political beliefs?
Let's give Mr. Dorsey a few seconds to answer that.
Yeah, and then that was sort of the end of the thing. But he went on a tirade, basically, and Cory Gardner, I don't think we have time to play that bite, Chuck did a very good job saying to Jack Dorsey, okay, so wait, so you censor President Trump's tweets, and then you allow the Ayatollah to say that the Holocaust never happened.
Jack Dorsey.
And he said, well, that's a different, we don't fact check that kind of stuff. I mean, it's clear that the Democrat, you know, that the
Jack Dorsey did a terrible job defending his own position. I mean, he came across as sleazy,
right,
dishonest, everything you'd not want to come across. And the Republicans
from Cory Gardner, when Cory Gardner is attacking you, you know that you're
actually did a pretty good job.
On the other hand, though, I wonder if it'll make any difference. I mean, if you're Jack Dorsey,
it'll make all the difference in the world if Trump wins.
Yes.
And the Justice Department, I don't think is going to be quite the same Department that was in before. So,
well, and so
if Biden wins, no, it won't make any difference.
I think in Colorado, I think that it is, I'm encouraged by the Republican numbers coming up. But you look at the number of new registrations just in the Cory Gardner race. The Colorado Sun, although it was a little biased, did a pretty good job breaking that down. There's like 500,000 more voters, new registered voters in Colorado. Roughly half of them, the majority of them, a little bit more than half, are young millennials born since 1980.
There are plenty of young millennials. It's you have an organization that goes out and gets voters. They got more Republicans in Pennsylvania. They got more Republicans in Florida. They got more Republicans. It's we have a Moribund thing that's
run by the
Republican Party that has the big money guys who are.
And that's in Colorado. And I think it can be, I think it's important, at least to me, to keep in mind, and Barney pointed this out too, that whatever's going on with Colorado, okay, that's one thing. And that's perhaps going to be a fight for another day, or we all move to Weld County and then secede and become part of Wyoming.
Not a bad strategy.
Yeah, really. But I disagree with Ted. I think that this race is not a Biden sweep. I don't think, I mean, we'll see, obviously.
It's anybody's game. I mean, right. I'm going to sort of go up and down. I look at something and I'm just thrilled. And then I look at something else and I'm done. I haven't quite gotten whether this is going to be, because elections usually go one way or the other, whether this is all flowing through toward Trump, notwithstanding the effort of the media and the polling companies to hide it, or it's going more Democrat. It could be either way. My own view is that, because you have to say a little optimistic, I like to think that Trump is winning, and this is going to be one of those shocking red waves, sort of what Reagan was in 1980, because it really was incredibly close, and no one knew how it was going to go until the final week. And all you see, is there anything positive for Biden as far as his campaign?
Even the trending is there on Trump's side. Okay, well, we'll maybe take off a couple minutes early.
Yay.
So Chuck can go back.
I can survive.
So bossing me around and getting me stuff.
Bossing you around.
Get
a word in
it. Wait. Chuck is over here. You're always leaving. And you're always leaving to go play golf or something. Thank you to Ted Trimpa, as always. He's great. Thank you to everybody who called in and listening to us.
Great.
Thank you to the folks at BBS. Would love to have you check out our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. If you haven't voted yet and you're wondering about some of the ballot issues, under the news section at chuckandjulie.com, I put up our ballot picks. And
I think they're pretty solid. I think most Republicans, there's a few in there that if you're a real squish, you may not agree with, but you're not listening to us if you're a real squish.
Right. No, there's nothing complicated in there or very tricky. So that'll do it for us on this Wednesday. We will next see you on Party Friday.
Take
Everyone care. Have a great couple of days.